Because, I mean, you got to remember back then, like, I had a massive TV when I was a kid. It was 27 inches.
Black Markets Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number N64, and we are jumping off of 007 GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64.
Absolutely, and one of the best N64 games that ever came out, in my opinion at least. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think it kind of revolutionized first-person shooters.
It really did. First-person shooters up to that point. I mean, there was Wolfenstein 3D, and then Doom, and then
Duke Nukem.
Well, Quake revolutionized it by going more of a 3D environment as opposed to a flat, you know,
right?
A flat Doom 2, and then GoldenEye took advantage of that, but really added the multiplayer. And local multiplayer for the Nintendo.
Right, which I mean...
Which later turned into LAN mode and all that.
Right.
But yes, this was the first real multiplayer first-person shooter. You were saying at the end of last one that it's even better now that we have huge TVs to put all four players on. Because
obviously, you got to remember back then, like, I had a massive TV when I was a kid. It was 27 inches. So when me and three of my friends all got together, you know, I'm no math wizard, but that meant we were all playing on pretty much like...
Divide it by 7-inch four.
Yeah, we were all playing on a 7-inch screen, which mainly meant that I was just watching what my friends were doing, you know, so I could be around the right corner. You know, which was how you played multiplayer
games. It was hard not to, because the screens were so compacted together.
Exactly. I mean, everything was so tight. But, you know, you were playing what essentially became known as like a team, like an individual death match.
Yes, yes.
Where it was, you know, the four of you running around in a room, mm-hmm. or, you know, in kind of a map. Looking and killing each other.
And apparently that was just a thing that the developers had done independent of what the software company had asked for. And they just kind of threw it in there without asking. And that was
the best part of the game.
That was the best feature of the game, yes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it was cool because it was so customizable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could... And I haven't played any updated versions of the game. I'm all just going off memory.
Right.
But you could customize what weapons were in there.
Yes.
You know, you could play with, like, just rocket launchers.
Yeah.
My favorite, if you really wanted to be, like, what I guess was the early version of hardcore mode, you could play with just the golden gun.
Just one. Yeah. One golden gun.
Yeah, one golden gun.
Whoever finds it shoots the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the golden gun in that game was a one-shot kill. Didn't matter where you hit them, they died. You could play with just mines, which mm-hmm. I always enjoy. Like, the proximity mines made me such a jerk.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if Quake had the proximity mines or not, but this had them, and that was an innovation in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you would just throw a mine and run away, and then the next person that got close to it was just going to go off.
Right, right.
And you could kill yourself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could, you know, just sort of stick them on the back of half the doors.
Right.
And just see what happens.
And actually, the Nintendo 64 was the console that would allow this to happen, because it came with four ports on the front.
Right.
Whereas none of the previous generations had four ports.
Just two.
And and the other consoles that came out at the same time only had two.
Right.
Which we can talk about those. The Nintendo 64 was the last major console with cartridges.
Yeah, it was. It was also the first that I remember that had upgradable memory. Do you remember about halfway through the N64's life?
Yeah, you put it in the...
Yeah,
in the...
you could open up that little port in the front and stick in, like...
Oh, okay.
I believe it was...
Didn't they also have... they had the... your save memory could be in the rumble pack on the controller.
Yeah, your save memory could be in the rumble pack, which was cool. And then you could... That was really the first time you could take your saves with mm-hmm. you, which was awesome.
I actually misspoke. I said it was the last cartridge system, but the Switch is cartridge-based. technically.
Okay. Yeah,
which technically is actually is. SD cards.
Yeah, but still. I mean,
it's still
it's
technically a cartridge.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, but if you're going to do that, it was the last big cartridge home system.
Yeah.
You know, because really, Game Boys and all this other stuff are cartridges. Right. But
they claim that the Switch is a home system.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what makes the Switch cool, is that it's a home and away system.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's everything.
Yes. So, yeah, 007, and it's... I always thought Perfect Dark came first.
Nope, Perfect Dark came later.
But it was the sequel. I ran into them both at about the same time when, you know, this was really the first major social game.
Yes, it really was. And now, I mean, and
that's how I ran into it, because
before we go
somebody
into
showed
that,
up with a Nintendo 64 in this game.
It had a very, very good first player, like solo mode.
Sure.
It did. I mean, you played through you actually played through the entire GoldenEye movie, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a little, it was a good first person shooter. I mean, like I said, outside of Doom, you didn't have anything like that. So it was, you know.
One of the things that they couldn't get the rights for, but is in the code, they had it where you could play as all of the Bonds.
Oh, that would have been so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, there are profile cards in there for Connery, Moore, and Timothy Dalton.
Nice.
But they couldn't get the rights for the previous incarnations, so
that
it just
awesome.
Ended up with Brosnan.
Because you got so many different, like, old-school bosses,
you
know, and baddies in there. You could play as Oddjob, which was always my pick because he was so short that, like, I figured out that my best friends like to go for headshots, so I would... But be Oddjob.
Why would you play as Oddjob if they don't have a hat as a weapon?
Well, because I had a rocket launcher.
That's not right.
It worked.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, like as Oddjob, I could just sort of like sneak around the corner, and they would just sort of like instinctively kind of aim for a headshot and just miss.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, it was... Like I said, the story mode was very good, but like I said, it really was the first kind of party shoot 'em up game.
Right, right. And really, Nintendo 64 was what really created the party game genre.
Yeah, yeah, because Mario Party first came out on
Mario
N64.
Party, Super Smash Brothers,
But Golden like I said, but that was the beauty of the four ports.
Yes.
In the front was that you could have...
The PlayStation had... The ability to add.
You could add. We've got a PS1 sitting right there.
Yeah, there was an adapter that you could add onto the front that would do four ports.
Yeah,
But most, the N64
most
came
games
out of
didn't come capable
right.
of using the four-port mode. So it was wasted.
There were a lot of games for the N64 that weren't four-player compatible.
Right, but I mean, even like ports that were on both.
Right.
A lot of times on the PlayStation, they didn't have a four-player ability.
Okay, yeah.
So, it was just sort of a thing that Sony added on there, and a few companies went with it. But
most
didn't really see a point. I mean, you know, the good thing that Nintendo does is party games, though.
Yes.
And really, they've sort of latched onto that and made that that's sort of their gimmick now.
Yeah, that's sort of how they roll now. They go for the family/party games.
Right, which I mean is it's social gaming.
Yes, exactly.
I guess it would be the more like corporate term
as opposed
for it.
To antisocial gaming, which is what
I play. Yeah, it's Skyrim and Yakuza and whatever else I'm
which is
about.
The hardcore.
Yeah.
I can't talk to normal people about my games.
Right. Yeah. Who wants to know about my Argonian? Nobody wants to know about my Argonian. He's a damn good thief.
Sure he is.
Channing my inner Z and making a rogue thief.
Yeah. Yeah, but does he have friggin' backstab? Because that's
he
what you
will
gotta
as
have.
Soon as I get my... he's got the arrow version of backstab now.
You're actually playing Skyrim.
I am actually playing
Skyrim. So that is D&D.
Yeah, it is D&D.
So, yes, a rogue would have backstab.
He would have fine backstab.
Yes, yes.
But I just have to get my sneak level up.
Yeah.
But it's
amazing how many people don't realize that Skyrim is D&D.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole thing is, it's all D&D.
It's all D&D, yes. Wizards of the Coast is making mad money off of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Even though they just licensed it out, you know.
Well, what's crazy is that, and it's sad in a way, because Skyrim is a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a 360 game. It's a PS3 game.
Right.
They just, instead of making
it for, yeah, they for just sort PS4 of, and
they
Switch.
Reskinned it, put up all the, or added all the DLC,
mm-hmm.
and then just sold it as like the Game of the Year edition, you know, or the new version or whatever.
Slightly prettier.
And like a dumbass, I just went and bought it again. Just, spend another $60. Take my money, Bethesda. You know, so whatever.
I don't want this. You can have my money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to set it on fire, but I guess I'll just buy Skyrim again.
Again.
For the third time. At least I bought it used this time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, but no, it, but Nintendo, and really, you know, they went that way with the N64.
Mm-hmm.
GameCube is sort of a lost era, but,
It is, but, I mean, N64 was the, well, Sega impacted the Super Nintendo with the Genesis.
Yeah.
But Sega really only had one generation.
Right.
And Nintendo 64 thought they were angling against the Saturn.
Right.
And Sony came out of nowhere and blew them away.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, they were not ready for Sony.
So, and they had to pivot on their cartridge-based format, and they had to pivot and try to make something different while still adapting to the optical drive, which was obviously the direction that they needed to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that's how they ended up with the GameCube.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think the GameCube was when Nintendo kind of realized, like, tech for tech, we're never going to be able to be Sony. And then when Microsoft threw their hat in the ring, they were like, okay, if we get in an arms race with the two largest electronics company in the world and the largest computer company in the world, we're never going to win.
Well,
so we have to carve out our own
GameCube
niche.
GameCube tech for tech was on par. Well, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. GameCube came out first, though, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think PlayStation came out first.
PlayStation 2.
I think GameCube.
Yeah. PlayStation.
No, GameCube, I think, did come out just before PS2.
Right.
I owned both.
But PS2 was a revolutionary device.
For a lot of reasons. My favorite reason? Backwards compatibility. And it was something PS2 had that nothing else has had so far.
Right.
And I think PS2 Sony realized they were slitting their own throat doing it that way.
Right. But also, it had, I mean, instead of having a multi-core processor, which you could do now,
yeah,
they just put, 16 cores in that damn thing?
Yeah.
So it had, everything was separated out into its own core.
Right, and it was big and bulky, but it was amazing.
Which made it tedious as hell to code for, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But if you could, and that's why it took a couple of years before people really started tapping into the potential of that console, which added to the console life because, it just kept getting better.
Right.
You could tell, okay, send this process over to this core.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, these 10 will be working on the graphics. Meanwhile, these 4 will be working on this in the background. And
Yeah. No, I mean, and it was really cool. And like I said, it came out 2003, I think.
No.
02? 03?
PS2 came out while I was in Japan.
Which was?
I left Japan at the end of 2000.
No. Really?
Yeah. Well, at least in Japan it came out.
I was about to say, it may have come out early.
It came out
in Japan.
It would have been 2001 at the latest in the US.
It may have been 2000. God, I didn't think so. Maybe I did. Yeah, well, I mean,
keep
look
talking.
It up while I talk. Because I remember getting one my freshman year of college, which would have been 2002.
Yeah, because I was in Japan for the lines that formed for the PlayStation 2 release in Japan.
But then I remember also breaking it, which is very sad. Actually, my college roommate broke it. And I was very upset. And then I bought a GameCube. And then I started running this scheme with GameStop where I would buy a GameCube and I'd play it for like 3 days and then I would return it. And then I would go buy another GameCube, play it for 2 or 3. Because I think I sent my PS2 off to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, I just kept buying a GameCube, keeping it for 3 days and returning it. Yeah, and I hit up like every GameStop.
The PlayStation 2 came out March 4th, 2000 in Japan and October 26th, 2000 in North America.
Wow.
Yeah, because I got the Gran Turismo 3 edition in the summer of 2001.
Wow.
While I was still in the desert.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Weird. I mean, it's crazy. I was an Xbox guy.
It's crazy that Gran Turismo could come out with a game so in such a timely manner back then.
I was about to say, you know what's crazy? You know how many Gran Turismos have come out since then? One.
One.
Fucking one. And it's ridiculous.
But Gran Turismo 2 was still the best of the games.
Yeah. Because yeah, I'm waiting
on... just such a... It wasn't actually open world, but there was just so many cars that you could that you could use.
Which I've got the new Gran Turismo pre-ordered, so I'm very excited.
Hopefully it's more like 2.
I hope so.
Yeah. I love the ability
to... Which is, in the meantime, Xbox has released like 9 Forza Motorsports.
Yeah.
And one of them was good.
But none of them have the Suzuki Cappuccino on them, which is the highlight of Gran Turismo 2, because it's a friggin' 3-cylinder sports car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a moped with you know, a body. But
yeah.
Fast acceleration, that's it.
But I mean,
sorry, you're in the middle of telling your GameCube story.
No, it's fine. Yeah. But that was what was crazy about when what I love about Gran Turismo is just buying my own car. And I know that has to be super weird.
Uh-huh.
I know those people are buying it for like their Ferrari, like, oh, it'll give me a chance to drive a Ferrari and a Lamborghini, whatever.
No,
I'll go buy
a Subaru. I want to get that
WRX STI.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what I'm going to drive around in the game. And then I'm going to take all the money that I don't have and fix it up in the game to know exactly what car I could have if maybe I hit the lottery sometime.
Yeah, like I got the like 1990 MR2, which is what I was driving in Japan. Oh my God, the suspension was awful and you couldn't steer through a damn corner.
Yeah.
But oh my God, the pick up and go was amazing.
Right. That was the MR2.
And what made... What going against what we've said altogether, what made Gran Turismo 2 a good party game, it was only 2-player.
Yeah.
But you could make so much... You could make so many corners that you couldn't make in the single player just because you used your buddy to keep you from hitting the wall.
Yep. Or sliding off the course or
you
whatever.
You bounced him into the wall and just kept going.
Yep. Yeah. If you could get your nose lower going into a corner, you could just ride your friend through it.
Exactly.
And you were just fine.
And then he was stuck there and you just kept going. Yeah. And yes, I was very much known for that. And yeah.
Absolutely. Or my little gimmick was if we were coming out side by side off a corner, I would just tap the handbrake, slide my back end out, and just hit my back end into your front end if I was in front of you, and just shoot you off course.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, pop it real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Dig it just enough where, okay, I'm even with you now, so I can hit you.
Yeah.
You always want to have... You don't want to have the outside line on the curve. Like, in the single player, you want that outside line on the curve so you can
take it. Right, to maximize your acceleration. Yeah.
But you don't want that on the single player.
Or on the multiplayer.
Yeah, multiplayer. Because if you're the guy on the inside, that guy on the inside is going to fuck you.
Right. Oh, yeah. Every time.
Because you're going to break to make the corner, and he's going to plow into your ass. Because he doesn't care at that point. He's taking the lead.
Yeah. No, the guy on the outside is playing at a complete disadvantage.
Yes.
So
it was a completely different game if you were playing 2-player versus playing 1-player.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it's... Because Nintendo re-released GoldenEye for
didn't
they? The Wii U, I think.
Wii U? I don't know anything that came out for the Wii U because I don't think anyone bought it. So
yeah, it's sort of a... No.
But if
Z bought it to play Splatoon.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yes.
Playing the shit out of Splatoon.
And the good thing about that is I'm sure it's in the Nintendo store now, so you know, it's probably in there for perpetuity.
Which is great. And that's, you know, I know it would never happen, but I wish there would be a way. Actually, I never checked Steam if Steam had GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. If Steam had GoldenEye, I would probably buy a controller for my laptop.
And you mentioned backwards compatibility. Like, if you've bought a game a download for PS3 and you go to PS4, do you still have that download?
No.
See, that sucks. Because there's no reason.
No, there's not.
There is no mechanical reason why you can't just have the rights for this game.
Now, that I don't know. That's the problem, because I jumped from an Xbox 360 to a PS4.
Oh, okay.
Actually, only the whole reason I did it was because Xbox locks the rights to baseball games.
Yes.
They quit making baseball games. PS4 does. So I bought a PS4.
So I can play baseball.
MLB The Show.
Yes.
Because the other baseball games were, like the EA baseball game, they were done. Yeah. So the only way I could play baseball on my...
It's like, they haven't made a college basketball game since freaking PS2.
They haven't been allowed to.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was a college basketball game for 360.
Okay.
But 2012?
Mm-hmm.
It's the last college football game, 2013. It's really a shame.
Yeah.
It'll never happen again. And actually, if you play the new Madden, there's just enough to tease you. There's the new story mode in Madden is called Long Shot.
Right.
Where you do get to play some of his college games at Texas.
Okay.
But because you're playing as a fictional character on a fictional, for a fictional coach, fictional lineups, they can do that with just the college licensing.
Right.
So where, it got really messed up with the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit was you couldn't make a full game of it because, okay, even if you change the names and the numbers, which, EA usually did. They didn't change the numbers, but nobody had names.
Yeah, nobody had names. It was just a number.
But Clemson QB2.
Right.
That has like 85 speed. We all know who that guy is.
Right. Well, what happened with... I always liked the dynasty modes on the college games anyway.
So great.
And you do the recruiting. And, the first year you'd start with just numbers. But then as you recruited your own players, you had names. And
well, see, eventually what happened was... MLB The Show does it as well. MLB The Show can only license people that have played in the majors.
Right.
That are part of the MLBPA.
Right.
What these guys will do, they started with NCAA, as they went in and filled out every single name on every single roster. The fourth string offensive lineman for Louisiana Tech, Jim Bob, your name is there, baby.
Yeah.
They filled out everybody.
Yeah.
Which was cool. And they'll do it on MLB The Show. They went in and filled out, like, everybody's AAA, AA, single A rosters, and then like change their stats accordingly.
Right. Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
So you can just go in off like community creations and just download their roster.
Yeah. Well, and with the last two generations of console, there's the ability to send out an update and suddenly you have new rosters.
Right. Or the ability to share your game saves through the cloud. Like, I could put everybody's name on there, save it.
Send it out.
And send it out.
Yeah.
Then anybody that wanted to download it could download it.
Yeah.
Because there are some people that have went in for like MLB The Show. If you want a fun time killer and just good hypotheticals, they went in and created with stats every Major League Baseball team's all-time team.
Oh, nice.
So if you want to play the all-time Yankees against the all-time Red Sox, you can do it.
Yeah.
And they put everybody's stats in. I mean, and of course, there's probably a little bit of bias there based on whoever.
But and do they allow one player to be on multiple teams?
Right.
Does Reggie Jackson have to be just a Yankee, or can he be on the A's and the Angels and the Yankees?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like, who does Nolan Ryan play for?
Right.
Does he play for the Mets? Does he play for the Astros, the Angels, the Rangers?
The Astros. Anyway,
that's but I mean,
but what league are the Astros in that case?
Yep. But here's the thing: are there five Mets pitchers all time better than young Nolan Ryan? Probably not.
But they could do it.
Yeah, I mean, so that's really. But I mean, it is cool for hypotheticals. But that's something that modern games allow you to do.
Yeah.
Is to hey, let's just have a fun Just how much do you want to dick around? Well, I want to play, with these overpowered teams. Well, great.
Is that Bartolo Colon batting? No, we just used his player model for Babe Ruth.
Exactly. But I mean, the time that some of the... Because there was I forget the guy's name, but he became the guy for NCAA football.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that, like, his name was in, like, PlayStation Magazine or, like,
yeah,
Game Informer or whatever.
back when magazines were a thing. Right.
But he was the guy. And when he released his roster for NCAA uh-huh. football, which always came out the day after the game,
uh-huh.
everybody went and downloaded it.
Well, it's like,
which meant that when this guy bought the game, he probably had to get in line at midnight.
Yeah.
And then spend from midnight until, like, noon the next day adjusting every single roster. And wasn't paid for it, near as I can tell. He just did it because he loved the game.
Well, it's like when I got my Palm, the Palm phone I got, I can't remember what it was called. I got it, and it had the ability to load a Nintendo emulator. And I found a ROM. Apparently, every year there is a Tecmo Super Bowl tournament with modern.
Yes,
with
you can
updated
actually, no,
rosters, and you can get the ROM.
It's online. Sitting in my Nintendo.
Yeah.
You can, I have Tecmo Bowl 2016 mm-hmm. in my Nintendo. You can actually, what the guy did was he went and, like, he sells the games on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
With, it's Tecmo Bowl, but he's went in and changed the code with modern rosters.
Yes.
He's added the Panthers and the Jaguars, which weren't there.
Yes.
You know, so you have modern rosters, modern teams, and everything, and then he re-cartridges it up
yeah.
and sells it for, like, $30 on eBay.
Well, and apparently they have a tournament every year.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. This yes. is, like, an official tournament that
oh,
they
yeah.
do, which is amazing.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just saw it on eBay. I was like, this is something that I need. Like,
yes.
because, I mean, okay, I bought Madden. I had Madden for 4 days, realized it's the same fucking game it's always been.
It's and prettier.
Sold it again. No, it's not. So if I'm going to play the same game that I've been playing for 10 years, why not just play the same game I've been playing for 25 years?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Well, yeah. No,
Maybe longer.
I still have Tecmo Super Bowl for NES, and I, if I can't hand it off to Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen in the same backfield, I don't want to play the game.
Hey, Tecmo Bo.
Yeah,
well, exactly. By Tecmo Super Bowl, Bo was slowed down.
No, Tecmo Bowl didn't have actual players.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
Tecmo
true,
Super
yeah.
Bowl was
Tecmo
when
Super
it was
Bowl,
actual
Bo.
Players. Yeah.
Yeah,
the Super NES version, they slowed
that,
him
they
down.
They slowed him down yeah. to a more
but
human
Tecmo speed. Super Bowl was actually on the NES.
Yeah. But yeah, but it's cool. And I think the guy does it every year is you can go buy, like, mm-hmm. Tecmo Super Bowl 2017, where he will give you the new rosters and the
yeah.
new teams, and it's awesome. But it's, I mean, it's cool what people are doing with those kinds of games.
Yeah, yeah.
But going back to GoldenEye.
But GoldenEye.
But GoldenEye.
Which is what we've been talking about this whole time.
Not really.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was just... It really was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
It was revolutionary for first-person shooters.
It was, because to me, like, on the timeline of first-person shooters, like, the highlights, I'm talking mm-hmm. about, like, true game changers. You have Doom.
No, Wolfenstein.
Well, Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein and then Doom on those same...
Right.
Yeah.
Relatively the same time.
No. Wolfenstein was before.
Okay.
By, like, 5 years.
Oh, wow.
See,
I never played... I guess Wolfenstein was actually before my time.
Yeah, yeah. Doom added a lot more weapons and upgraded graphics
okay.
onto Wolfenstein.
Okay, so yeah, you've got Wolfenstein.
Those
first.
Were both same company.
Yeah.
So
Wolfenstein and then Doom.
And
then to me the next leap is GoldenEye.
Quake. Because Wolfenstein and Doom are both 2D environments.
Right.
There is no stairs. There was no elevation.
Yeah.
Quake brought in the elevation, the 3D elements.
Okay.
Then GoldenEye.
GoldenEye brought home, you know, to the consoles.
Right.
You know, Quake was all computer, right?
Initially.
Initially,
Doom was ported.
Yeah.
But it wasn't nearly as good.
Right. But yeah, then GoldenEye. And to me, there's a gap between that and Halo. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, Halo was the next game changer.
Right.
Because that was when you could finally, like, that was the switch over to Xbox, where you could hook up a LAN cable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually play on separate televisions.
Exactly.
There was no everybody gather around one
TV. Right.
We're going to play, you know, it became 2v2 on one screen to 2v2 between dorm rooms.
Yeah, which is when you suddenly had LAN parties. And, you know,
yeah.
And EverQuest kind of led into that, but that was an MMO.
Right.
But it started getting people... used to having
the concept of
having
being
concept.
Separate from the
right.
people you're playing with a little bit.
The PlayStation 1 actually had a link cable that you could link PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 1. And my friend Eric and I had...
Son of a bitch, I think you're right.
Had two linked PlayStation 1s, and we put TVs back to back.
Yeah.
And it worked on Command & Conquer.
Huh. I think I said it, because the port's right there in the back, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and you'd put the link cable between the two, and we played Command & Conquer Red Alert.
Yeah.
And so I would see my map, he would see his map. We had the TVs back to back, so you couldn't see the other person's screen.
Cool.
Which was leading towards LAN party, but there was no
right.
There was no internet.
And I mean, and that's what we did, you know, in our college dorm room. We had these suite style.
Mm-hmm.
So we had my dorm room, a shared bathroom, and then Drew and Steven's room.
Yeah.
And so what we would do is Drew brought like a 150-foot LAN cable.
Yes.
And what we did was we hooked it up to mine. Ran it through the bathroom, taped it to the wall and then the ceiling and then back down through the door into his TV. And, I mean, it became a big deal. I mean, we were having teams of, you know, it was teams of two or teams of four.
Yeah.
We'd play in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would shut the doors. Nobody talks to anybody else and we just go.
Right.
And, I mean, it was awesome. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we got so good playing two-player, 2v2.
Right.
That when Halo 2 came out... which I still have the do not open before sticker on my refrigerator in my room. The night of, dating myself, we went to Blockbuster to get the game the day it came out. Blockbuster was having a Halo tournament. And 2v2, the team that won the tournament got to be first in line.
Damn.
Me and Drew won that tournament.
So, yeah, that was... So, having never played the game before, you had to play it...
No. It was a Halo 1 tournament.
Oh, okay. So Halo 2 was coming out.
Right.
Okay,
Halo 2 was coming out. They were having a Halo 1 multiplayer tournament.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was the best 2v2 or, you know, two-person team. If you won the tournament, you got to be first in line.
Right.
Which was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, at least we could say, you know, that's what we did. But we had our strategy. We perfected it against our friends. And we took it out in public and just dominated with it.
Right. But, going back, GoldenEye really introduced the concept of the deathmatch.
Right.
They introduced the concept of the multiplayer first-person shooter.
Yeah.
And granted, it was all on one TV, so you could cheat like hell and just watch everybody else and where they're doing.
And we tried so hard. Like, we tried to put, like, a piece of cardboard into it. It didn't matter. Like,
and you had to stick your head in the cardboard box.
Yeah. It did not fucking matter.
No.
And plus, it only cut off, like, half the screen anyway.
Yeah.
I couldn't make... Like, I wasn't crafty enough to make, like, a four-way box
across.
To put up there. Like, right, everybody get in your little cubby hole. We're going to fucking watch this.
Yeah. Somebody's chairs on the ceiling. I don't know how you work that. So he could be at the top half.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it was fun. And, but it did. It introduced the concept of the deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, it introduced customization. Which,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that happened with Halo, but...
Yeah, it introduced the concept of, you know, Doom introduced the concept of a character because you had the picture of the character
right.
who got damaged.
Progressively shittier as he got hit. Yeah.
But GoldenEye kind of introduced the concept of character customization and actually having the characters be different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because you could pick between like 20 different guys that you wanted to be.
Yeah, Doom, it was still one guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, you were the Doom guy.
Yeah.
I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
We'll call him The Rock because that was an awful fucking movie.
So you had different characters with different abilities and specializations and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't think they were that specialized. It was minor, but yeah. Yeah. I don't think the characters had any specializations, but they were different sizes, different shapes, you know, which made it kind of cool.
Yeah.
You weren't just looking at the same fella.
Yeah.
You know, when I turn the corner, it could be a different guy.
Yeah. It wasn't, that's the guy in red. Yeah.
Oh, red guy. Boo red guy. I'm blue guy. You know, which not even Halo really did a good job of. You know? And then it became a movie and a TV show.
Yes.
Or whatever. But it really, like I said, the whole cool thing with customization was that it, you know, before then you played the game.
Mm-hmm.
With customization, you could kind of control the game a little more than you ever really could before.
Yeah.
You know, so it gave it a lot more replayability because, you know, if we're just playing with just, like, let's say assault rifles.
Yes.
Somebody who's really good with assault rifles is always going to win.
Yeah.
You know, me personally, I was good with shotguns.
or I, you know, so
good with coming around the corner and pulling the trigger.
Right, that was it. Like I'm paranoid and jumpy. So if we both turn the corner, I'm going to shoot first. You know, I'm Han. I always shoot first. God, that sounds terrible.
Anyway.
But yeah, so, I mean, you know, it would allow us to go, okay, well, we're going to play with, you know, just shotguns.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go just pistols. You know, that's, you know, or just mines or just rocket launchers or, you know.
Oh, it's my console. We're going to play with what I'm good at.
Right. Yeah, so then the concept of kind of house rules became a thing. Like, okay, well, at my house, this is what we do. First of this many kills.
But
first
okay, we're gonna do it with these weapons, and then we're gonna do it in this arena, you know, which was
completely which different. Changing the arena was a huge deal because it really gave you a chance to learn maps, and figure out, you know, kind of which map worked for you. And,
okay, if I hang out here, I can see most of the map, but then everybody else knows where that hangout spot
is. Which then introduced the worst part of multiplayer gaming, camping.
Yeah, camping you know? And sniping, yes.
Yeah, because it really was the first, you know, with multiplayer, you just learned, if I just sit here around this corner and wait for dipshit to run through, I'll just ambush you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the smart guy goes ahead and runs through there and puts up all the proximity mines in the world
in the
going into the camps. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Or if you were really good, you could just kind of turn around, like throw a mine and run the other way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And just take off. You freaking flip mines at people and just blow them up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But it, so it really did create that sort of gamesmanship where, you know,
There were dick moves, but there were also counters to the dick moves.
For every dick move, there's a counter dick move.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and then there are counter dick moves.
Okay, yeah. And I think we've done enough. We talked about GoldenEye. We went off topic. We actually came back.
We came back.
We don't always come back.
Yeah. The counter dick move is putting the proximity mine into the doorway.
Yeah.
On the other side of where you're camping, so when the guy runs in to toss the mine, he gets hit by your mine. That's the counter dick move.
Yeah. Yeah. You set up proximity mines behind you coming into your camping.
Exactly.
Spot. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the counter dick move.
Yeah. 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 There were ways around it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to, I was going to say powder for next time. It's an excellent movie.
It is.
But I'm not going to because last night Will and Grace hit Hulu.
Oh, this is going to be more you than me. I never liked that show. And we'll talk about why I don't.
Okay, so should we do Powder instead?
No, it's fine. Okay,
Will and Grace hit Hulu last
maybe
night.
Maybe as an adult, I'll like it more than I liked it when I was younger.
So the classic episodes are on Hulu now. September 28th, which will be before we record the next one, the new one. The new episodes begin airing, and they'll be on Hulu the day after. So we'll have a chance to talk about this whole rebooting TV culture, which we haven't really touched on.
Yeah.
So because everybody hates movie reboots,
right?
But most of the TV reboots aren't vilified like that. So we'll get into that.
Yes.
Next time.
Yes, we will.
And that'll give people a reason to listen. So I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram. And
I'm that Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm the Joe You Know on Instagram.
And we'll talk at you next time. Sit down, waste time.